Thank you for this moment. Thank you for your word, Father. We thank you, Lord. You give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us, the saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe. We thank you this morning for the power working in us to deliver us and bring us into the light, that the wisdom that comes from above, Father God, would manifest not only in our lives, but in all those that we come in contact with. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So praise God. Hallelujah. I've caught up in worship this morning. The worship. We should have just kept on worshiping, I think. I'm serious. I think we're getting into a place that's just amazing. God is great. Amen. Remember what I said earlier. I said, don't be disturbed, because scriptures that come forth aren't always those scriptures that seem to us to be what we want them to be. Everybody wants to hear that everything is perfect in us, that we're all set, we're all fine, we're all great. You know, everything's fine with me, you know. But the truth of the matter is, without Christ, without great grace, we're all lost. There's nothing good in us except the Christ that dwells within us. That Christ is manifested by the amount of word that we have living in us. Jesus said, if my word abides in you, and you abide in me, you can ask the Father anything, and he'll do it in my name. Think about that. Asking the God who created everything for your needs to be met, whatever that need is. As a matter of fact, he said, I'll even give you the desire of your heart. How do you know that God wants you to excel in life? He wants you to be the head and not the tail. He wants you to soar like an eagle. He wants you filled with joy and peace and strength in the Holy Ghost. He doesn't desire you to live like the rest of the world in fear, anxiety, bound up. Matter of fact, we're going to look at a scripture in a few minutes. The whole reason Jesus came was to set you free from this worldly system. I can see it now. The Father looked down upon this world. And we'll look in Genesis 6 in a minute, and we talk about Noah. And we can look in Jeremiah and different places where God looked down on his people and on his children, and he was disturbed by what he saw. Matter of fact, when Jesus walked the earth, he said that he looked down, he looked at them, and he was very concerned about them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They had a lot of religious people. They had a lot of people. When you did what I wanted you to do, I would give you a good word. So they would always flock around people that would tickle their ears to make them feel good. So because if I feel good, the problem is they only felt good when they were there listening to what was good. When they walked away, they forgot what was good because they fell back into their old way of thinking, their old way of feeling, their old way of doing things and seeing things. The mind and the will and the emotions of man, when man fell in the garden, their mind, their will, and their emotions, their soulish realm fell also. You understand that? You got to admit yourself, when you look at what's going on in your life, when you look at what's going on, there's times when you look at it and you don't like what's going on. It'll make you sad. It'll bring discouragement. You'll look at your life and say, I failed in so many ways. And everybody else around me failed me in so many other ways. And because of what they have done, I have a right to feel the way I do. Amen? Isn't that true? Even as born-again, spirit-filled children of God, we still get into an emotional tizzy at times, and we all fall down into a weeping basket full of jello. And we all weep, oh, I can't go on, I can't do anymore, I can't. Jesus came to set us free from all of that. It's an amazing fact that many times, if you look in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, if you ever read that, it talks about how people would be burned at the stake, and the flames would come up over them, and they're singing songs of praise to God. How is it possible? Something happened. The transformation happened. They didn't look at their life and say, oh, me, oh, my, what a life. Oh, nobody loves me. Nobody happens. No. There's something that happened to them. They found a place that was different than everybody else around them. Wouldn't it be an amazing thing if every day you had hope for a future? And every day you got up out of bed and you say, today's the day. He's coming back today. I'm getting ready. He's coming back today. I'm going to get dressed right for you. The first thing you do is fall on your face. Father, forgive me. Clothe me in your righteousness. I have sinned. Fallen short. That's it. You get out of the life. You have an expectation. The day's the day. If we lived our life that way, every day would be an exciting day. And when you go to bed at night, you'll say, well, Father, I guess it wasn't today. It must be tomorrow. And get ready. Because tomorrow, he's coming. And I want to be ready for him. God wants us to live a life that's so exciting. Amen. About today and about the future. Every day you have an expectation of something good happening. Today's the day he's coming back. No, we look at it this way. Today's the day I'm going to make that sucker suffer for what he did. Today he said, I remember what he said. I remember what he did. I'm going to be so mean to that person. So what do? We get caught up in our own. Hallelujah. We regret having to live rather than living without regret. God said in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22. Oh, that's a good one. I saw it. I didn't see this one. But listen to this. This is in chapter 3, verse 22. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your black backslidings. Indeed, we do not come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Truly, in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. In Proverbs 4, verse 22, God is speaking to the children. For my people are foolish. In the Bible, foolish usually means a person who is not seeking after God. I mean, that's a foolish person. A foolish Christian is one who loves the world and the things of the world more than they love God. And their life reflects it. I was looking this morning and I say something that and I'm not, it's not meant to build up or lift up or exalt anything. I looked at my checkbook this morning, and I started a new page of putting down what checks I write out, right? I got, yeah, register, thank you. I got 5 checks written on that thing. I don't like spend money. I don't spend money. I regret buying that car. I really do at times. I enjoy it, but man, I don't need it. But I enjoy it. And God gives me things to enjoy, so I'm not complaining about it. But anyways, I looked at my checkbook, and there's 5 checks written on it. 4 of them are to New Hope.
Amen.
Four of them to New Hope. One is a bill I had to pay. What I'm trying to get across is this. Look at your checkbook and see where your heart is. Amen? You'll see it. What's most important to you will be reflected in the checkbook. Why? Or your credit, you know, your whatever, your debit card or whatever you're using. Why? Because he said there's two gods in the world. One is money and one is God, Jehovah. You're going to serve one or the other. Amen? If he wants us to prosper in all things, amen? If he wants us to prosper in all things, then we have to do it his way, not our way. This isn't about trying to get you to pay, get more money. You can write five checks and have a total of 5 cents. That doesn't mean anything. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Amen? I said that not to exalt me or lift me up. I said that because I looked at it this morning and I laughed about it and I said, wow. Amen? I still carry cash too, so I spend money on cash. Yesterday I went to the store and bought food. Amen? Yeah, I know. Extravagant. I know. I went out and wasted a lot of money on that. Well, some of it was a waste of money. Stuff I shouldn't have bought. Yes, I agree. Hallelujah. Amen? All right, in Genesis 6, go there real quick. We're going to look at this. We're just looking because you don't want to be these people. Amen? You don't want to be these people. He talked about backsliding. What's a backslider? One who isn't as far as they were. Let me ask you a question. Is your walk with Christ stronger than it was the day that you started with him? Amen? Is it stronger than last year at this time? If it's not, then you're a backslider. He said, I will heal your backsliding. How do I do that? I come to him and repent. Recognize that you are in that position. It's not a big deal. One of the things I love about Jesus is, he didn't make it difficult. This is not hard. This isn't, as a matter of fact, he said, you know, he didn't come to give it to the wise. He came and gave the message to the foolish. The ones who knew there was something more to life than what they had, but they couldn't figure out how to get there. Jesus said, I came to bring them life. He came to reveal how to live an abundant life while they're here, and not only while they're here, but there also. The thing is, this life cannot be separate from that life. It's just a carry through. You understand? You're already living in the kingdom of God now. Where you are right now should be heaven. You understand that? All right. What leaves this earth if we should pass and go by the way of the grave? Your spirit and your soul. Amen? When you got a hold of this, and you got the Spirit of Christ in you, and he removed from you that old nature, and he created in you a new being. It's a heavenly being. Because if your spirit had to be renewed before you get into heaven, it's already happened, or you will never get in there. Because if it's determined by your actions, you'll never make it. I know I won't. You understand that? So I have already attained heaven in this temple. I'm perfect in the spirit, man. Amen? The body is dying and decaying because of sin of the world. Because the sin is still out here operating. and this body is operating in the worldly system, it's still dying. Understand, right? It's decaying and falling apart. The older we get, the harder it is to do the things we used to do. But by the grace of God, we continue on doing what we can. By the grace of God, we're able and empowered to do even more than what normally we could do at the age that we're at. So back up. So the spirit man is already attained perfection in heaven, right? Is perfection. What hasn't been saved? The soul. But it's in the process of being saved. The object is to get the soul to be recreated into the image of Christ. He said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. We are having our mind being transformed, renewed, or if you will, being saved. So that not only can our spirit be heavenly, so can our mind and our soulish realm. We think like he. We talk like he talked. We walk like he walked. We love like he loves. All that comes out of the soulish realm. You understand? All that comes out of the soulish realm. You can choose to love or not. The most amazing fact is, we did a message, and I shared last Sunday a little bit about it on a Wednesday. And he talked how to prosper in a time of famine. Listen, get ready. The famine doesn't necessarily have to be of the finances of this world or anything like that. You can be the richest person in the world and still have a famine in your soul. But one of the things that struck me, which really hit me hard, was he said, in order to prosper in a time of famine, you need good relationship. You need good relationship with him, and you need good relationship down here. Hear me when I tell you something. And I've shared this with you before, I'll say it again. If you're having problems in your marriage, don't go to someone else who's having problems in your marriage to get advice. Go to someone with a strong marriage and get advice. You understand? You don't need someone, if you're going through a difficult time in your physical realm and you're having difficulty with sickness or disease, don't go to someone else who's got sickness and disease and always complains about it and talks about it in a negative way and try to get advice from them. You can go to someone who's going through that battle but standing on the Word of God, and they will come and tell you the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not just somebody else's condolences or, oh, I feel bad for you. Oh, too bad, honey. I understand you're not. You understand that? You will only grow to the degree that you have a relationship with others that are growing. If you're friends in your walk with Christ in the body of Christ, and you hang around only those who are under you, less knowledgeable about the Word, not walking by the Spirit, but walking in the flesh, they go to church every week, but never grow beyond the point where they're at and the complaining and murmuring and always talking about other people in a negative way. If you do that, you will never grow beyond that point. You find somebody else who's walked by faith, someone else who's filled with the joy of the Lord, someone else who trusts God with all their heart. They may not be as great in the Word of God, but you see in them. When Peter and John were up on the portico, he said that they prayed for somebody. He said they looked at him, not that one, different one. But he said he looked at him and said they could see he had faith to be healed. Do you understand that when you see a Christian, you can see the faith that's in them? Amen? What's that mean? What about the other ones? We lift them up. How do we do that? Because when they start talking nonsense, we tell them the truth. In love, do you understand the power of your words? The Bible says there's life and death in the power of your words. You can either speak life or death And the result of it will be manifested in your life. And so when somebody in the body of Christ, and we said this earlier, your relationship in the body of Christ is so important for you that when you're going through a difficult time and you start speaking negative thoughts and somebody comes up and says, sister, brother, you shouldn't be talking that way. Here's what the Word of God says. Just get away from me. I don't want to listen to you. One of the hardest things in the world. And I love Diane. I love her. Anyways, she would come to me and said, this is how I feel. And I'd bring the Word out. I just want to tell you how I feel. All right, tell me how you feel. Then I bring the Word out. I don't want to hear that. Because she wanted me to agree with her and her negative feelings. Well, yeah, you're having those feelings, but that's not the truth. The truth is, this is what God says. And it was, boy, we'd go through that numerous times. And then she'd say, I can't tell you anything. Yes, you can. But be open to what I've got to say afterwards. Because my whole purpose was to build her up, never to tear her down. You've never heard me talk negative about her. Never. I wouldn't do that. I'd rather sew my lips closed than talk negative about her. You understand that? But the truth is, there was a battle that was going on within her soulish realm. And the thing I was trying to get across is to renew that. Bring the new truth. And that won't change your feelings. No. It'll dominate your feelings. Now you won't walk by your feelings, but you'll be walking in the truth, and the truth will set you free from the feelings that caused you to get there in the first place. Amen? These are things that God has given us to understand. I want this life he's talking about. Am I perfectly there yet? No. Am I getting there? Yes. It's a process, an ongoing process. I thank God that he didn't leave me nor forsake me. He keeps working in me every day. How do I know he's working in me? Because I hate what I do sometimes. I hate the way I talk sometimes. I hate the way I think sometimes. It's true. But I also love the God who created me and saved me. The most amazing fact, and I just really off the path. The amazing fact is, God knew me before he saved me, before I was born, before the foundation of the world. He knew me, and he called me to be a pastor, even though he knew what I was going through. It's got nothing to do with the things. These are just personal things I'm going through, the battles that I fight every day of the flesh, of the desire for my will to be done, not his. My battle over others, trying to get them to do what I want them to do, rather than trusting God to do what God wants them to do. Amen? And it's a battle. Hallelujah. But we win. Amen? I just want you to recognize it. Now, go into Daniel real quick with me. Did I read that? Yeah, I did, didn't I? Oh, I didn't get to Genesis 6 yet? Oh, okay. Go into Genesis 6. I apologize. 4, 5, and 6. Said, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Amen. Look around us. How has the world progressed? How has the world progressed? Has it got any better? Look, go into. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. It says in the scriptures, as in the days of Noah, so shall come the Son of Man. Now, I know there's a lot more into that. But I want you to see the wickedness of man and how man has in their own minds rejected God. Does that sound familiar? And let me say something else. No matter what the Supreme Court looks like, no matter who's sitting in the White House, no matter who controls Congress, the Senate, or the House, doesn't matter any of that. because it's still man. Amen. The Bible says if the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Unless they are born again, spirit-filled, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we know some of them are. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But they are not our Savior. They are not the one who keeps us. They can make our physical life a little better, but they can't deal with the soul. Because I don't care how much money you've got. I don't care how many taxes are taken away that you don't have to pay anymore. I don't care. Any of that stuff won't change the way you feel. It'll bring your physical being a little more comfort, but that's it. If you think being wealthy will make you happy, then you're in trouble. You need to get saved. I was listening to the radio, and they're talking about the lottery now, I guess. It's up to, one is up to 300 and some million, and one is up to 600 and some million. And I sat there and listened to it. I said, I thought to myself, David, what if you won that? And I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, if I won that, am I strong enough to stand against temptation that would come my way? Listen, I know somebody's thinking this. No, but I'd sure like to be tried. Listen to me when I'm telling you. You don't want it. Let me tell you something. If you don't have control of your finances now, what makes you think you're going to have control of it then? If you can't, amen? If you can't be in control of the little, why do you think God has given you more? He said, when you're found faithful in the little, I'll give you more. Right? And I'm talking about everything here. So we see it, it goes out, and if we continue into this, you'll see, go to 2 Timothy 3. Amen. You know these scriptures so well. I'm just reminding you of them because I have to fill the time. So, you know, these are things that you've got all together already, and I know most of you are falling asleep because you're thinking to yourself, I know all this stuff. Yeah, amen. I'm so amazed at mankind because, you know, just like God said, there's nothing new under the sun. Man has not changed since the fall of man. The only difference is Christ in us. We're fallen, 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 fallen. And the only thing that helps us up is the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? Nothing else. So anybody who sits in here and thinks, man, my life is good, without Christ, think about how good it would be. Amen? You can have a good life here. God is not against you prospering here in all things. But I like what one pastor said. He said, if you will seek first the kingdom of God, then the things of this world will seek you out. But if you seek the things of this world first, you'll miss the best part of the whole thing. If you will chase after the kingdom first, if you will seek the kingdom first, all the things else will come your way. Amen? But our focus has always been on the things of the world and giving God whatever's left over. Amen? That's the fallen nature of man. So don't feel bad about it. Just, unless you go to the truth and accept the truth, you'll never be free. As long as you think you're fine just the way you are, you'll never go beyond that point. Only those who have a need go after the need to be met. If everybody else is the problem, amen? Hallelujah. All right, look at 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, sorry, chapter 3. Is that where I want to go? Yes, chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, are we there? Amen, we're in the last days, I do believe. He said, perilous times will come. If you look in my middle of my Bible, it says, times of stress. Perilous times. Times of stress will come. How many of you know there's stress in the world today? Amen? The key is not in us. Let there be stress in the world. Until the world sees the peace that passes understanding in our lives, they'll never want what we've got. We got to make them jealous. When you get around other people, especially people out in the world who aren't saved, and they're just complaining and murmuring about Trump and about this and about that and going this way and that way, you just sit there and smile. What are you smiling about? Well, see, this is not of my world. Jesus said, if this world was mine, my servants would fight for it. My kingdom is someplace else. Your kingdom is not here. You're an island in the middle of an ocean. And that island is a place of safety for shipwrecked people. That just came from God, by the way. I didn't have that. You understand that? And you have to see yourself that way. God will bring people to me that I'm able to help in their time of stress. These people out here are protesting. These people out here are doing all that stuff. They're trying to figure out a way to get what you've got. You understand that? What you have is what they're looking for. Peace, safety, provision, joy, love, acceptance. These are all things they're looking for. But because they don't know how to get to it, their inner being is screaming out, help me, help me. Now they use different words. They condemn everybody else. But the truth is, they're looking for what you have got in you that they would love to have but can't. And so instead of when they come around screaming and yelling, you got to hear it with the eyes of your understanding. You've got to hear it with the ears of your spirit, man, not from the ears up here. Because they hear what you hear here will cause you to react to their negative feelings. If all you can hear what they're saying with these, without understanding, without the spiritual side of the implication of what's really going on. Most people I have watched over the years, most people who are going through a difficult time, they're going through it, and that's not the problem. Their problem isn't what you can see. The problem is what hasn't been accomplished inside of them. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, in the very essence of who he is the way he'll walk through life. The biggest danger for all of us in this place, I think, personally, at least for most of us, is to live in the soulish realm that has not been renewed or saved. Because all you will see is the things you do wrong, the things you don't do, your failures, your inconsistencies. Oh, I don't read enough. I should pray more. I should do this more. I should do that more. In that, once you do that, it stymies the rest of what God is trying to do. Once we come to the understanding it's Christ working in us, not you. Well, I've got to put on the whole new man. How do you put on the new man? The Word of God renewing your mind, bringing the soulish realm into agreement with God's Word. How does that work? I have no clue. I have no clue. Seriously. The Bible says we know in Hebrews, he said that the Word's alive. It's a living Word. You understand that? Yes, Lord. In this generation, more than ever before, I think, we're concerned about what we eat, right? Nutrients, getting the right vegetables, getting the right food in us. Don't eat this, don't eat that, don't eat this, right? But we don't worry about what the inner man is eating. We'll watch TV, we'll listen to stuff, we'll read stuff that's nothing good for us. And we'll feed that inner man with all garbage. Never even think about, wow, what's it doing to my spirit man? Why? We're so caught up in the physical realm that we can't see what's happening in the spiritual realm. That's why he said, and I said to you before, in Galatians 6, when he said, God will not be mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, so shall he reap. Sow to the flesh, reap destruction. Sow to the spirit, reap life, eternal life. And eternal life doesn't happen when you start when you get to heaven. It starts the moment you got saved. The moment you got saved, you entered into eternity. Because at that moment, the Bible tells us, you shall not die. You shall live and proclaim the works of the Lord. Living in the eternal realm means that what goes on in the natural realm has no power over you, because all good things come from the spirit realm. How can we live this way? With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So you and God working together in this, what's that? That just means you doing what God tells you to do. Watch what the end of the results come. Let's look at the end of this. He said, but know this, that in days or perilous times or times of stress will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. What is that called? Selfie. Amen? More pictures are taken of self than of others. I'm serious. You watch now on all the media thingies. You got Twitter and you got Instagram and you got Facebook and you got whatever. All about me. It's all about me. And to prove it, I got pictures. Amen? Lovers of self more than lovers of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, this was written 2,000 years ago, for crying out loud. And it's as real today. That's why the word is alive. Let's go on. Listen. Lovers of self. Lovers of money. Does that sound familiar? Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. Come on. You think America's in trouble? Hallelujah. Let's go on. Slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Amen. Hallelujah. The word of God. It is what it is. Think about it. It is what it is. We talk about what's the difference between a prosperous soul and a non-prospering soul. We just read it. That's a soul that's not prospering. Slowly but surely it's dropping. And you know as well as I do, what's coming out of Washington, what's coming out of Hollywood, what's coming out of these places, it's getting worse, not better. Amen? It's getting worse, not better. All these things, always, if you start reading it and you go, it's degrading. It's going down. It's not getting better. Go with me one more scripture, and then we're going to stop for today. Daniel 9. Daniel chapter 9. Hallelujah. Daniel is now in captivity, and he's going to the Lord in prayer. The heart of man is revealed in Daniel. And I believe the heart of God. Daniel was well respected by his captors. He's a man of God who loves the Lord. And he said, let's look at verse 3. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Daniel wanted to know something. He had some requests. Anybody in here got a request of any kind before God? Yes. Hopefully. I hope all of us do. I got a lot of them. And he gives us an indication here to humble ourselves before God. Humble ourselves. Let's remove all the thoughts of how great we are, how wonderful we are, how right we are, and admit to God we need him. This is the key. Do you need him? Well, I need him to save me. Yeah, but do you need him for a prosperous soul, a godly life, a life that's worth living down here? Without fear, without worry, without cares, with everything met, and then doing exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or hope for? What a life that must be. You don't look at your checkbook and wonder if I can do something. Can I help this person? Because I want to help them, and I see their need, and I want to help them, but I don't have anything to help them with. Because I got to go out and buy a new car, or a new dress, or a new suit of clothes. And if I give to them, I can't help them. We recognize that in all of us, there's weakness of the flesh still operating. But God, the first thing you need to do is go to God and start confessing the truth to him. Amen? Listen to what he says here. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants and prophets who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. They heard the word of God. They knew the word of God was given to them, yet they refused to obey it. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those near and those far off, and all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. Now hear me. I don't know anybody in here. Nope, I'm going to keep quiet. All right. The Holy Spirit just told me, shut up. Tell me, shut up. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants and the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges and who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster, for under the whole heaven such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. Hear me. We are under a better covenant. This was under the law. The Bible tells us we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Absolutely true. Absolutely. But disobedience to God under the new covenant is just like disobedience to God under the old covenant. That doesn't change. God does not ignore disobedience. God does not just, okay, go ahead, do your own thing. He made it so that we don't have to bring a sacrifice every day to the altar for our sins, because Jesus became that sacrifice once and for all. But he does tell us to confess our sins. What's he talking about? He said, humble yourself, acknowledge the fact of where you stand at this moment. Start there. Start there. Every day, do not escape and say to yourself, well, I didn't sin today. Do not lie to yourself or to God. It doesn't mean that we come under the burden of that sin. It doesn't happen. But that sin will become a burden to us if we don't deal with it. Repentance is turning away. Actually, what repentance means is having a different mindset than the way you were going. You know what God said, but you willingly chose to go a different way. That's no good. Eventually, it's going to catch up. Eventually, you will see the result of that disobedience. And what it does is separate you. Because God will leave you? No, God will never leave you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, but you will leave him. In Revelation, he says you left your first love. You left him for something of the world. And because of that, the prosperity that he desires for your life, the prosperity that comes from him and him alone, how does that work? We're going to dig into that later. But know that we can't ignore what God says. The Holy Spirit won't let you. You can't run from him. You can't hide from him. Because wherever you go, he's there. And again, what I told you from the beginning of this thing, I said God loves you. He is not here to stop you from having fun and doing what you want to do. He's not going to do that. He's trying to show you a better way. He wants to show you a better way. And unless you fully accept, and I mean fully accept his ways, if you try to mix them with your ways, eventually your ways will win out. And it'll be costly. Well, nothing happened, and I'm still here, and everything's going all right for me. The idea is, how can I prosper without the enemy able to get into my life and stop that prosperity? God's ways are much greater than our ways. In Matthew 15, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching us doctrines, commandments of men. In other words, they allowed man to come in and infuse them with what they wanted to hear rather than what God has actually said. Jesus, when he came the scripture I'm looking for. All right, Lord, where is it? Help me. Here it is right here. Matthew, thank you. I know I told you one more scripture. This is what's coming next week. So in case you don't want to listen to me. Yeah. Well, you know, when you remember the old days when, I don't even know, I haven't been to a movie in so long, I don't even know what they do in the movies anymore. But I remember back in the old days when Lone Ranger was the one in between the things and all that stuff. Remember back at the Phantom and all that? Remember? Way back when, before your guys' time. Anyway, they always showed you coming attractions. So I'm just coming attractions. Here's what's coming. Amen. Here's what's happening next week. Hallelujah. Matthew 9 said this. And this is one scripture. I'm going to read it and leave it there. Then we're going to go through it next week. God willing, unless he changes something. But verse 36. He said, when he, that's Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. The scriptures tell us that Jesus came for purpose. And that was to lead the sheep. When the Father looked down and saw them, he said, look at them. They have no direction. They have no purpose. They're just out there grazing wherever. The wolf has come and taken whatever they want to take from them. He felt bad for them, so he sent the shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus being the good shepherd, to lead them. What was he leading them to? Green pastures, still water. Amen? This is what he is doing. Look at Psalm 23, read it. That's what Jesus came to do for us. The Bible says that we should have the mind of Christ, that we should be at peace, that we should be filled with joy, that we would have understanding of the ways of God. So that, look, if you've got understanding, if you understand the way God works, you'll never be moved away from his purpose for your life. It's when he moves and does things that go contrary to the way you think it should be done. It causes confusion and upsetness. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you.